I met a few young people here this morning, and I'm going to change my introduction just a little for your sake. When I walked into this church this morning, I met Elder John Benienhuis, and he said, "You know what? You went to school with my mother." And all of a sudden, I had a flashback. Yes, I did. We walked to school about a mile and a half, every morning. And we were not the only ones on the road. There were lots of people pushing little baby buggies, going from door to door, asking for some food. They came from Arnhem, a city that was bombed, and they came out of the big cities, and they were starving. And they went from farm to farm, and they said to my mother, "Do you have anything for us to eat?" Just imagine that. A potato. Half a potato. My mother said, "There are so many of you, but come on in. Warm up for a little while." And you know, that's how we learned hospitality. Hospitality is a Christian gift. But in the meantime, we have become very wealthy. We have plenty to eat. And I'm afraid that we are losing some of the gifts that the Lord has given us. The gift of hospitality. Hospitality for the needy, for those who need us. Now, to our text this morning. Simon showed hospitality. Simon was a Pharisee, and he came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "Would you spend some time with me at my home?" Not because Simon was really so hospitable, because he was a Pharisee. He did not like Jesus. But Simon, the Pharisee, was curious. He was nosy. He wanted to know, who is that Jesus? Who is the one who heals the sick and casts out demons? Who is this man? Is he truly a prophet? Is he a prophet of God? And so he said to Jesus, "Would you please come into my home?" Now, Jesus would not accept that invitation, of course, because Jesus did not like the Pharisees. Listen to what he said about the Pharisees. "Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the most important places in the synagogue, but you are full of greed and wickedness." Jesus would not accept that invitation. Yes, he did. He accepted because, young people, you got to remember, Jesus came not just for the rich and the wealthy and the people that have everything, but Jesus also came for the needy, for the hungry. Jesus also came for the Pharisees and for the publicans. And so he accepted the invitation. And then all of a sudden, that horrendous event. A woman from the street, a street person, all of a sudden barged in while they were eating, and she cried and she carried on. She went right to the head table, wetting Jesus' feet with her tears, wiped his feet with her hair, kissed his feet, and poured perfume on them. Who was that woman? I bet you've heard this story before, you said, and you had the idea that this woman was a sinful woman, and she was. Why was she sinful? Well, many commentators say because she was a prostitute. Well, our text doesn't say that. She might have been. She was a sinful woman. But she might have been a gossip. She might have been the town gossip. She might have been dishonest. She came to Jesus' feet. And she carried on. She was a sinful woman. And Simon was flabbergasted. But at the same time, he had the answer. He said, now I know. Now I know Jesus is not a prophet. He is not the person he claims to be. Because if he were a prophet, he would say to that woman, there is the door. You don't belong here. I didn't invite you. You are an unworthy reject. He would have condemned her, and he would have shown her the door if he really were a prophet, says Simon. Because that's how Simon looked at her. A sinful woman. A reject. Somebody that doesn't belong here. That's point number one. Point number two. How does she look at herself? Did she come to Jesus and say, no, look, I want to have a seat with you. If you are invited, I should be invited also. Because after all, Simon is a Pharisee. Where is my plate? If the Pharisee can invite Jesus for dinner, he can invite me too. What is there to eat for me? No. Oh, no. She stood behind him. That's what our text says. Every word is meaningful. It's God's infallible, inspired word. She stood behind him. She wept at his feet. She wet his feet with her tears. She kissed his feet and poured perfume on his feet. She knew her place. Why? Well, she knew herself as a sinner. This, according to many commentators, was an expression of repentance. She said in this bizarre behavior, she said to Jesus, my sin, oh my sin, my guilt, my shame. Yes. But that wasn't really the point of our text. That's oftentimes overlooked. You got to read that text again when you come home. It was not an expression of repentance, first of all. But above all, it was an expression of her love and her devotion. It was an expression of her deep gratitude to him who had become her Savior. While she poured that perfume over Jesus' feet, she must have said to herself, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? For my sins are forgiven." That's how she looked at herself. An unworthy sinner, but having heard the love of God, for God so loves this world. Have you heard that ever? You who may struggle with your shortcomings, struggle with your sins, struggle with your doubt, with your unbelief. Have you ever heard these words anew? For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. She heard it. And that's how she looked at herself. And now my last question. And that last question is the most important question of all. How did Jesus look at her? First of all, how did Simon look at her? An unworthy reject. How did she look at herself? Well, a sinner, but forgiven in Jesus' blood. And how did Jesus look at her? That's the most important. Now, in order to answer that question, Jesus taught a parable. You know, Jesus so often spoke to us in parables, in stories. I am convinced that our Lord had so much concern for us, that he loved us so much that he said, "I want these people to know. I want the young people to understand. I'm not coming with deep doctrines, and I'm coming with stories." What was that story? Well, he said, "Simon, I have something to tell you. Two men owed a lot of debt." You can have that sometime. When I came out of school, oh boy, I thought I'll never get my head above water. Getting married, buying furniture, all that. Oh, how do we ever get out of that? Well, Simon, I tell you a story. Two men had a lot of debt. The one man owed 50 denarii. I don't know how much that was. Fantastic amount of money in our money. And the other one owed 500 denarii. Now, the man to whom they owed that debt said to the one who owed 50 denarii, "I forgive you. Done. Te telestai. Paid in full." And the one who owed 500 denarii, he said, "You know what? Te telestai. Paid in full." And Simon, now I have a question for you. Which one of them will love this man the most? And Simon the Pharisee didn't want to come out and say, "Well, of course, that stands to reason, the one who owed him 500. No. "I guess," says Simon, supercilious indifference. I guess the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Jesus looked at him. You have answered well. Simon, this woman's debt, this woman who had a bad reputation, whatever it was, a horrendous reputation, this woman whom you call a reject, this woman's debt was astronomical, huge. How can she ever get from underneath it? But her love for me was astronomical. She poured out her heart to me. Now I compare her to you. You didn't even have the common courtesy when I came into your house. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't kiss me with a holy kiss. You didn't pour oil over my head. Now you say, well, why would he? Well, again, I want to address the young people here a minute. Look, we never hugged people some 30 years ago. We never came up to people and just hugged them. We never heard people say, now just give me a hug. It wasn't done. That wasn't the custom. We shook hands. We were polite, but we didn't hug. That all of a sudden came in. I learned that as a pastor. I stood by the door shaking hands, and all of a sudden somebody would say, give me a hug. Well, yeah, we did, and we got used to it. And now that becomes a custom. Now, that's a custom, a time-conditioned custom. There were time-conditioned customs also in the days of Jesus. And one of the customs was when you invited a guest, you would wash his feet because he had been on these dusty roads. There was always a basin with water. His feet were washed. You provided oil for his wounds and oil for his head. But when Jesus came to Simon's house, there was no water. There was no one to pour oil on him. Simon, you did not show me any hospitality. You did not give me any indication that you said, oh, how thankful I am you are in my house. No. But this woman loved me much. You know why? She knew herself as a forgiven sinner. You see, Simon was a Pharisee. He loved righteousness. Yes, self-righteousness. Look, Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that I'm not like the sinner, the publican, the prostitute. Look, look, I fast. Look what I give of my time, of my money. Look what I have earned. You were self-righteous, Simon. You never saw your own sin. You never saw your own shortcomings. You never cried out to me, my sin, oh, my sin. And because you didn't know the extent of your sin, you could not show your gratitude to me. You could not show your thankfulness to me. You had nothing to be thankful for. And so Jesus turned to her And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, she knew that already, but she heard it again from Jesus. "Your sins are forgiven." Now look, we know our sins are forgiven, and yet, and I want the young people to remember that, yet every Sunday when we come to church, I hope the law of God is read, and I hope the absolution is given by someone ordained to give it. "Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood." Every Sunday again. We know it already. Yes, but we have to hear it again. And we accept it again. Oh, I worry about the church sometimes because our liturgies are becoming programs. Programs. Sometimes very meaningless. But the liturgy in the church is very important because it is service to God in a very unique way. And part of that liturgy is the Lord comes into our lives with his wonderful message. "Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood." Now, quickly. A very important person in my life, a president of a college, was deathly ill. I came to his bed, his deathbed. And he said to me, "John, are my sins forgiven?" I answered him and said, "Come on now. You have taught this all your life. You have preached that all your life. Of course you know that." "No," but he said, "I want to hear it again. I want you to say it to me again. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood. My sin, oh my sin," this glorious thought, "my sin not in part, but the whole have been nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul," he said to this woman, "your sins are forgiven." It was a declaration which she had to hear once more. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Not your tears, not your perfume, not your outward demonstration of love and devotion. No. She came believing that the Son of God, the Son of Man, came to seek and save those who were lost in sin. And therefore, Jesus said to her, "You came to the right address. Your sins are forgiven in my blood." Now go in peace. Leave and go in peace. Because, two things. You have peace with God. You are reconciled to God. And you have the peace of God in your heart, consequently. And that is a peace which no one can ever take away from us. My question for you this morning is, do you have that peace? I know that you are like I am. You worry. You have restless nights. You begin to wonder. And perhaps rightly so, because there's so much today in this world to be concerned about. I don't want to mention it. I want to stay upbeat, but there is so much in this world to be concerned about. And so my question is, Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Do you know that you are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, who died for our sins on Calvary's cross? And consequently, do you have peace with Him in these turbulent times as you worry about children, grandchildren, I do not know what, crops, future, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, floods, fires? Oh, there is so much to worry about. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Then you may say, my sin, not in part, but the whole, have been nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. O my soul, let all God's people say, Amen.